views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you reconnect with any part of yourself that you might be ignoring so that you can live life to its fullest potential. And by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. My guest today talks about the family thread that runs through all aspects of your life and helps you become aware of the patterns that are shaping you and your family. I love her unique view of these dynamics and decided that she simply had to be part of my Mother's Day marathon in the month of May. And happily, she agreed. Joanna Lynn has 20 years of expertise in resolving inherited family patterns and is committed to helping families turn off the repeat button that keeps them living out those painful patterns generation after generation. Her superpower, she says, if she has one, but I'm saying that she actually does, is discerning exactly where your challenges come from by simply listening to the words you use when describing your family history. Similar to me, her bigger vision is about contributing to world peace, which she does one family at a time. Joanna, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Debbie. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm very happy to have you here. So, as you know, today is part of my Mother's Day Marathon Month. And as a result, my hope is that we can give our listeners tips and tools they can use right away to start making positive changes in their life. Now, having said that, I think it's really important that we first give people a taste of who you are and what you mean when you say the family story is our story. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Let's give the example similar to that of a computer. So as all of our lives begin, that firstborn, first breath, we actually don't arrive with a clean hard drive. Think about it like sharing an operating system with your parents and even your grandparents. And science actually gives us unequivocal evidence that this is the case. What is unresolved for our parents, either emotionally or from a significant trauma, lives on in our body. It's as if we're born ready to deal with the things that our grandparents and our parents were up against.
Wow. That is really an awesome way to look at it. Thank you for that description. So one other orienting statement then. Do you have kids? Are you a mom?
I am. Someone asked me yesterday, what's my greatest accomplishment? And the first thing out of my mouth was becoming a mother.
Oh, nice. So 1, 2, 5, 7?
Our son is 9. So we've got an only child.
Oh, nice. Nice. All right. So with that in mind, then, everybody be thinking about the fact that this is going way beyond you. This is your operating system. Let's share some tips or stories, little awareness tools that will really help our listeners to deal with some of the challenges that they might face in life.
Absolutely. So whenever I get a call, Debbie, from a worried mom or dad that says, oh my gosh, you know, we've got to bring our child to you. You know, this serious situation is going on. My first answer is, okay, when can, you know, you guys as parents come in? Because I work with family history. And of course, a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old, they're not going to know the details of even their parents' lives necessarily or what went on for grandma and grandpa. Right. And so what I've learned in the years of working with clients is that if we look at a child's behavior, often, if not every time, it points to what's unresolved for one of the parents, or perhaps something in the history for both of them, or what's going on inside the marriage. And so if we as parents can actually kind of think about how our child responds to school or whatever might be stressful in their world, whatever these behaviors are, what if we started to look at them as clues? And that leads us down a very different path than looking at, let's say, discipline strategies or, you know, gosh, I've just got to fix, quote unquote, my child, instead of what's this behavior pointing to?
Oh my goodness, I love that idea. I talk often about that mirror, people mirroring things. So when someone's really irritating you, when it's not just a little one-time occurrence, but it's going on again and again, I often say to people, well, you know, take a look at what they're doing that's really bugging you, and then see if you can find a bit of that in yourself. And I know, you know, just saying this on the radio, I know there could be people going, why would you have me do that? But the reality is it allows you to take a deeper look inside, because often life is reflecting. Is this the same kind of idea, or is it a little bit different than that?
Well, I love the analogy, but it's even deeper, Debbie. It's, think of it that, you know, chromosomally, biologically, we're half our mom and we're half our dad. And so it actually lives in the chemistry of our body, these responses, these needs, these, you know, ongoing frustrations. Anything that you're aware of as a pattern gives us more of those clues. So I'm just thinking of a common example of what might happen in a household with young kids. You know, maybe that neediness that the child has, it's kind of driving you crazy. Well, let's get really vulnerable with ourselves. You know, is it highlighting something that you wished you would have received more of as a child? And then when your little girl or little boy is expressing it, maybe that's why it just feels so draining.
Right. Okay, now I'm going off in my own world. I think I'm just going to let you talk. I'm thinking about my kids and, you know, oh, so mine did this. What does that mean? Makes me want to analyze right away.
So, that's it. As parents, we can't help but do that.
Well, exactly, because it makes you stop. And I love looking at things from different perspectives. And I think that's one of the things that when you and I initially talked, I thought, I love the fact that her perspective is so unique, because we so often look at things from a very direct way. Like, I'm mad because he did this. And meanwhile, when you dig deeper, you figure out that actually I'm not mad that he did this. I'm mad that I had to do that in the first place. I cleaned the floor and he's made a mess of the floor.
Exactly. This work is all about the big, big picture. And often we can't get the solutions that we need for, let's say, our child's anxiousness or their temper tantrum if we're only looking at it from, you know, what did they eat? Are they hungry? Are they tired? Yes, that's one important part, but we have to really take a larger step back. And what does this point to? You know, maybe I'll share a simple story that might illustrate it really beautifully.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it was a client that I just worked with a month or two ago. And, you know, she called me back after our session and she said, you know, Joanna, my five-year-old was crying out for me in the night. And typically, you know, this isn't the first time that that's happened. Typically, I'd go in and, you know, tell her about school the next morning. We all have to get up early. You know, it's really important. You just go to sleep right now. Mm-hmm. And instead, this time, I lied down beside her and just kind of cozied in, realizing maybe she was calling out for the love that I didn't receive when I was five. Because it didn't matter how loud I called for my mom or how long I did, she just never came. And so this client's ability, you know, to be with the need, the longing for mommy just to cuddle in close and not making it, you know, this is a bedtime rule. This is just what has to happen. Sometimes we're tired and that's what we do, yes. You know, but really seeing the big picture of it all. And, you know, that was just after a single session when she was able to touch in the grief, the longing, the pain that was still active in her body. And now her sweet little girl was expressing it.
Beautiful. And that actually answers the question that popped to mind for me. So you actually had worked with her and helped her to identify this.
Exactly.
It wasn't something she just suddenly remembered.
Yes, exactly. All of our work was around her grief connected to her mom, you know, how she was mothered and what was missing. Mm-hmm. And when we can kind of integrate or really have awareness with that part, we automatically respond to our own children, you know, our spouse, life and all of its challenges very, very differently.
Right. So what do you say then to the parent who is listening to this and immediately feeling guilt, because there can be a sense of, I gave this to them. I passed this on. This is my issues. And you and I both know, we hear all the time about, you know, any problem you have goes back to your mother. So how do you deal with that? How do you help them recognize that? Yeah, no.
Oh, well, you know, I think the first place to start is, you know, they're not alone. You know, I'm a human mom too, and I don't have perfect mothering days every day, even though this is my work and I know it like the back of my hand.
Right.
We're all human. We become impatient. We're overtired. These things are part of it. And I think it's so important to know that if that connection and attachment gets broken, it can always be repaired. You know, even if your child is in their 30s now or they're a teen, it's never, never too late. And I think that softness with ourselves, that number one, this is, you know, exactly what happens. We can scientifically track that what's unresolved for us will go on to be expressed by our children or our grandchildren. There's no way to cherry pick and they just get the greatest parts of our personality or, you know, our lovely hair. If only we could just give the good stuff. It's all mixed in together. And so that gentleness with ourselves that says, okay, what do I need to attend to in me? You know, what do I need to bring more awareness? And just like this client, a little more tenderness around what the little five-year-old in me needed, what any little girl would need, and actually what didn't come through. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about making the mother wrong or feeling guilty ourselves as mothers. It's beginning to broaden our understanding of what happened. So even if we go back to this client's story, the mom, her mom who was unavailable to her, was dealing with mental illness with her mother, having to take care of her, which didn't leave a lot of extra time and attention for her own children. And so when we can look at, it's almost like we step out of it being personal for a moment and we just say, wow, you know, she was running ragged, working full time, dealing with and not only just an aging parent, but a complicated situation. And there just wasn't the bandwidth left over.
Right.
So now I get to give myself what I longed from my mom because I'm all grown up. So when I give that to me, I get to be more available to my kids.
Absolutely. And you stop taking it personally, what your mom did, right?
That's
you stop it. Taking any of the resentment you might hold towards her personally and you kind of go, wow, you know, and sometimes you can't get that whole story, right? For whatever reason, maybe your mom has passed away or, you know, they were adopted. You don't know any of your family, real family history, this kind of stuff. So what do you do in those kinds of cases?
Ooh, that's a good one. So anytime I've worked with clients that have been adopted, we know everything we need to know about the family history from the reoccurring patterns they're up against. Mm. And so it's really learning how to track it backwards, so to speak. And there are many families where they're filled with family secrets, where the actual content isn't available to us. And sometimes it's enough to know the distance that's between my mom and I, as an example, since this is about the Mother's Day theme,
right,
is because a trauma happened. Maybe I don't need to dig up and know exactly what that was, but if my mom was cold or critical or always withdrawn and distant, I wonder what happened to have her show up with me as a little girl that way. So we right away want to turn on more compassion, more understanding to build that bridge. So it's not about, you know, how could she have been this way? And the question is much more, what happened to have her show up in life this way?
Right. Right. You know, I always like to help people understand that things aren't necessarily happening to you, they're happening for you. And that's what I'm hearing you saying, really, is when we can shift our perspective from, why is this happening to me? This isn't fair. This isn't fun. I don't like it. I didn't sign up for this. Mm-hmm. And turn it instead into this, you know, maybe these patterns are actually happening to teach me something, to help me discover something about myself.
I love that you've tuned into that, Debbie, because so much of where I work with my clients is how can we gain the resources out of the style of parenting you received? You know, so maybe you're exceptionally resourceful, or, you know, you've really learned to count on yourself. And so you've got this ability to go out in life, and maybe you're an entrepreneur, or maybe you're, you know, lit up by work that's very meaningful. You know, one of my clients, her family would bring in children in that in-between state. Maybe they're coming from foster care, about to be adopted, sort of in that very precarious in-between space. And her work as an adult was to work with placing children in healthy, happy homes. And so, you know, we never know this influence, what seems maybe complicated or not so ideal in the moment. What does that give us when we come into adults with, you know, that full awareness and maybe even gratitude of what it was?
Great. So I'm having a little paradigm shift here myself as I'm thinking about the fact that, for example, I talk to families sometimes about the family of origin, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is your upbringing and the things that have been going on. But when somebody has, let's say, lost their parents, they've ended up in an orphanage, they've been through the foster system, whatever, then that's still something that happened for them, not to them. How do we help them integrate that stuff? But the paradigm shift that's happening for me here is that it still could be your ancestors, your family line, that is actually having the greatest impact on your daily experience. Am I right with that, or...
Yes, you are. So when I work with adopted clients, they all want to tell me all about their family, their upbringing of the adoptive family. But what will be much more impactful from the epigenetic perspective, meaning what we take on from the family system, are the two people who brought us life. Remember, chromosomally, she's half of each of them, he or she. Right. And so... I work a lot with something we term in this work that's called the break in the bond. And those who've had an adoption have the most severe expression of the break in the bond. And it can happen to those of us. I mean, I have a significant experience of that because I had the cord wrapped around my neck and spent the first week of my life in an incubator, not connected to my mom and dad.
Right.
And so this break in the bond really changes the way our brain is set up, to be honest, how much we trust love, even how much we trust life. And so how do we help those people who've been through the foster system, who have been adopted? It's very much about coming into this place of gratitude for this life. You know, what greater gift is there that the mother's listening as we celebrate Mother's Day?
Right.
You know, we are the passer on of life. It's remarkable. And so what if we let that be more than enough? What if we started looking at our own lives as if to say, wow, you know, this partnership that I love, this career that lights me up, these children I've gone on to have, whatever it is that you love about your life, you know, none of this would be possible had I not been given the gift of life. And even at all of its costs or consequences, meaning, you know, being given up or maybe a health condition that would have come through as a child, whatever that separation was about, even with that, I can see in my life that I got enough.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. My brain is just spinning with all the possibilities of where we could go here. So I'm wondering if the listener might be feeling a little bit the same way. So can we boil this down now into what would be the steps that you would suggest a parent follow? And I know there might not be one, two, three, but mm-hmm. you know, what what would help them? What are the tips that they should, they might start using right away?
Great idea, because this is a very new way of looking at things. And it's sort of like, wait a sec, are you telling me all the ways I thought it was isn't the way it is? Yeah.
Exactly. You have pulled the rug out from under my feet now. Help me. This is Mother's Day month.
Exactly. And so I think the primary takeaway would be to recognize, and I guess I kind of see it as a bit of an invisible force that's behind all of us, that shapes our lives from this place of our family history. And so how can we get curious about how we hold our own mom and dad inside? So for example, if we're not able to receive love the way our own mom gives it, we're very likely to have a complicated relationship with our own children. It's as if, you know, we're not able to have this exclusion inside the family. Otherwise, it comes around again to be resolved. It's sort of that the family love looking to have resolution. And so a lot of times, if we can look at our own stuck points, our own vulnerabilities, our own parts that are unresolved, that's going to give us more than likely all the information we need about what's going on with our child. So kind of back to what we shared at the beginning, what if we looked at our child's behavior as a clue to maybe what they're feeling inside or what they might be carrying for us or our spouse?
Right. And I love how you contain it, the container that you put it in, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because what you're saying is it's all an exploration, right? It's an adventure. You're curious. You're trying to figure it out. But the goal isn't to get all your answers in the first 5 minutes, right? This is an ongoing adventure for you to take. And the only difference is now you're looking at the adventure differently than you might have been half an hour ago.
Well, it does give a very fresh perspective. I often joke that I'm much more a detective than I am a therapist.
Right.
You know, it's putting the family puzzle together, and it gives some of the most greatest insights as to what's really at the root of things. And it's kind of like once you see this, it can't be unseen. And right. So like the client story I shared earlier, you could imagine her responses to her own daughter will now be much more tender, you know, have much more patience, have much more connection. And isn't that what we're all seeking at the end of the day with that harmony in our own home?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then I know from our conversation that you actually have some tools that are quite, I don't know what to call them, really big tools, far out there tools that help to heal some of this stuff. So is that common that a person might have to go through like a family constellation to heal something versus, you know, just a mindset shift?
Well, I guess it depends on the scenario. You know, I tend to borrow from that famous quote, I've lost the name of who said it in the moment, but the essence is none of us can solve a problem with the same mind that created it. Was Einstein.
How can I forget?
Yes. And so sometimes we need that other objective someone to shine light on what's just too close for us to see.
Yes. But
I love to share as openly as I can on interviews like this that maybe we just turn some lights on, some fresh way of looking at things just in the conversation.
I love that. And you know, I have to say that if I had to narrow down what Vibrant Powerful Moms is all about, that's it. It's self-awareness. It's looking at things from a new perspective. It's being willing to dig down and go, what's under there? Where did that come from? And why does it matter? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about that old idea of why, you know, it's more about that whole curiosity thing.
Yes.
Love it.
Well, an open mind, right? It leads to that curiosity and we can see things with fresh eyes.
Yes. So if a listener wants to do more work with you, how would they do that?
Well, they're welcome to visit my website at www.joannalynn.ca. And it's JOHANNALYNN, a bit of a unique spelling there. Mm-hmm. I work privately internationally over Zoom or phone. And I also offer online workshops that allow the group dynamic. We can learn so much from each other. You know, we're so much more alike than we are different. And so those are a variety of ways that people can gain more insight about this work.
Yes. And some of your workshops you do, you go around the country doing them, correct?
I do. I do live as well as online. Yeah.
Oh, nice. And so that website will be up on the blog that launched at the same time as this show did. So you can go there to my blog at empoweringenergy.com and the links will be there. You are also offering an audio gift. Can you give us just a quick idea about what that is?
Absolutely. Well, being a mom myself, I know how busy we all get. So it's an audio about being good to yourself, really just resting back in, letting all the busyness drop away, and kind of that gift of coming home to yourself.
Oh, beautiful. Joanna, thank you so much for being part of our Mother's Day Marathon Month. I know that you helped a lot of people to just take that step back and recognize that life is a lot simpler than we ever thought it was, but it's also very confusing when we try to go it without the expertise, the people that can help to guide us. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. A big thank you as well to our listeners. You are the reason that we're here. And if you haven't gone yet to my website at empoweringenergy.com to pick up your Mother's Day gift, make sure you do so before the end of May. It's right there on the homepage. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Joanna Lynn, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.